Tim Dean from the School of Life, PhD in philosophy. He is someone that you can throw him any kind of ethical dilemma, and his years of training and dedication will be able to produce the best answer possible and the best guidance possible. Tim, are you ready for another round?
Oh, man, that's a high bar, Bryce, but, you know, I'll do what I can.
Well, Sid, you and I were talking about this, and you've been losing a lot of sleep sometimes just thinking about all the ethical dilemmas that we've talked about on this show, right?
That's right.
And tell us, what have you been thinking about lately?
I'm an economics student, and I think a lot about, like, I guess the developing world, right? And, like, ethical consumption that comes with that. I guess recently I've started to be a little bit more conscious of the fact that the clothes that I'm wearing and the devices that I'm carrying are probably made in sweatshops, right? They're made by underpaid people that who are working in conditions that are, quite frankly, inhumane. They don't get breaks. They're exposed to toxic chemicals. What do we do about living in a system where that is just the status quo, that we are so obviously profiting and living because someone else out there is suffering? Like, the alternative is ethical consumption, but I'm also a student. Like, I can't afford to go out there and buy expensive, ethically made things. And quite often it can be really hard to search them down. How do I guess, exculpate myself from this kind of life?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And it's a really good question. And it's something that I think we often avoid thinking about, because when we do hear about these conditions that people work in lots of different countries around the world, you know, it's sometimes quite shocking. And we realize, hang on, I've bought some clothing from that brand. I've bought a device, a phone from that company. And then you look at the conditions people are working in, you think, well, if they were working in our country, that would be illegal. Not only illegal, we would be outraged. We'd be in the streets, you know, complaining about this kind of thing. So, and it can make us feel like we are complicit in allowing and facilitating these kinds of work conditions overseas. And I think actually a lot of the time, when we do see those conditions and we become aware of that, it, almost like a defense mechanism, we do try to avoid thinking too much about it. We do try to change the subject a little bit. And a lot of us feel a great deal of guilt when we do think about these things too much. And so I think your response is the right one, which is to open it up and to think, well, what can I do? And I think there are a few things that we can do about this, but it's not a black and white subject, right? So on the one hand, there's a big push for transparency. And in a way, I think a lot of philosophers would say you can't really make a good ethical decision if you don't have all the information. If you have no idea that the clothing that you bought came from a sweatshop, in a way, you can't really be held morally culpable for enabling that sweatshop to persist. But if you are made aware of it, then you actually have a choice. You can make a decision about this. You can say, well, I approve of these conditions or I don't. You can look at a competing brand that maybe says, hey, we have much better conditions for our workers, and we cost more because of that. And then you can choose, what is it worth to you? You know, are you willing to pay, you know, 10, 20% more, 100% more, if it means that people can get, you know, a fair wage for their work? So in a way, the first thing that we all kind of need is to at least know what's going on before we can make a decision about this kind of thing. I mean, do you feel as though you know where your stuff is coming from?
Well, yeah, like quite recently I've started to look into, I guess, brands and more companies that actually have pretty good ratings when it comes to like their indexes for like sustainability and ethical production. But I mean, now that I've started to come out of that kind of, you know, like moral ignorance or willful ignorance phase, I still can't necessarily shift my consumption to try and support a lot of those kinds of businesses and by proxy those people, just because I'm not in that circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. So just because of my circumstance, I feel like I can't really be the most moral part, like the most moral version of myself. And I've been kind of grappling with how to make sense of that.
So is Sid, like, do you think Sid should throw himself in the bin because he's just living life as this terrible person? Like, because what do you think?
I'm a phony.
Sid, look, as a moral philosopher, I'm happy to say you're not a terrible person.
Oh,
very few
you.
People are terrible. Woo. People, right? We all have these difficult decisions that we need to make. And sometimes you do need to make compromises. So, for example, a philosopher like Peter Singer would put it this way. Now, Peter Singer is a consequentialist in the sense that he believes it's the consequences of our actions that are the things that we should be looking at in terms of their right and wrong. So it's not the intention as much as the consequence of our actions. But he's also a utilitarian. So he says how we judge consequences is in terms of what is the overall impact. Is it on the whole, is it better or is it worse? Acknowledging that there are very few things that we can do that are 100% good, that have no negative consequences. So there's always going to be a bit of a trade-off there. And he's also come out and said, so he's used this argument to talk about a kind of a similar subject to what you're bringing up, which is about the ethical consumption of food. So he thinks that we should be vegetarians because a lot of the raising of animals and the slaughter of animals, he believes, is causing pain and is inhumane. So he thinks that we should not partake in that industry, which is similar to saying that there's a problem with the way our clothes and our products are being made, and so we shouldn't partake. But he also acknowledges that if you are currently a big meat eater, and you reduce your consumption by 50%. That's not getting all the way there, but it's making progress, you know?
Right.
It's moving a step in the right direction.
So you've got to...
Like, okay, if you need to have a certain protein intake and you just cut down, you're still making a beneficial, you know, step. So if you kind of have a budget and you need certain things, you need to wear clothes, right? And there's only certain limits that you can take in terms of, you know, op shops.
Yeah.
At least if you buy as much of it as you can from fair trade and ethical vendors, then you're at least better off than you were, and the world is a bit better off than it was before.
So would you say in like 10 seconds, I mean 10 seconds max, just sort of a yes or no, if you think that, it sounds like with that maybe it's maybe a general thing in life where if you're in a situation where you know that like you're aware of something bad and you're doing the best that you can to not be supporting that 100% but still sort of partaking in it, then generally that's like you're doing a good job kind of thing.
Like trying to reduce your consumption of
or
it,
harm
right?
in general.
Look, I would say that even thinking about it, even reflecting on it and caring about it is a step in the right direction. And the more that we can do that will encourage us to be mindful of the things that matter, look out for the kinds of signs of things that are produced ethically and help make better decisions. So
yeah.
We can't expect everyone to be a moral paragon. You've just got to care about it and do what you can.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I guess similar thing extends to iPhones. We could definitely talk about that, but maybe we'll save it for next week. Hey, Tim Dean, thank you so, so much. It's always an insightful journey.
Yeah, thanks, Bryce.
Thanks, Tim.
And there you go, Tim Dean, School of Life. And he knows his stuff.